Well, hi. Is this thing? Sibilance. Check one. Hey, we're back.
We're still here.
It's the... We never left.
We're back.
Yeah. The Big Sky Boneheads podcast. Hi, my name's Michael Gray. His name is Scott Hershey. We haven't done this in a tick over a year. It's been a minute since we've been on here, but we are back with plans for the 2024 season. As always, please, if you can hear my voice, like and subscribe to the channel wherever you find your podcasts. Share it on your social feeds. Let people know that we are here. Otherwise, it's just the two of us sitting in a room talking for a fifth hour in a single day, and that's ridiculous.
It's easier to do when you got stuff to like and share, which we do now. We're right. Back, and we plan on being back.
Yeah, no, this is going to be fun. We've got a slate of shows planned for 2024, and because you can never get too much out of a tired media trope, we're going to do the same thing every single other media outlet is doing right now and go back through 2023.
Well, we have a reason for it, though. We haven't been here
right.
In a while with a new podcast, so it's fun to do this, and I'm glad we're coming back, and we've got some cool people coming up, as we've done in the past. We found a few more cool people, and hopefully more in the future, so I'm really looking forward to this. But first, we got to take a look at some things that happened while we were not podcasting.
Yeah, it's a little bit like bringing the podcast back from a medically induced coma. Here's what you missed.
Except we're informing you instead of us being in the coma and getting informed on what happened while we were gone.
For you older folks that are probably too old for podcasts, this is the part where a podcast comes out of the shower and was alive the whole time, like in Dallas.
Wow.
So yeah, starting the 2023 year in review is just this. The podcast. It went away in November of 2022. It has been gone for all of 2023. It is prepped and ready for 2024. If you're hearing this and you've got ideas for people we should talk to, if you're new to the podcast, it's just about Montana. There's life in Montana, people in Montana, things that happen in Montana. That's it. That's as limited a scope as we go.
Right.
If you know somebody, send it along.
Hopefully they're fun. You know, we like to have fun about everything. Well, yeah. We try to lighten up everything. But, you know, fun, informative things that have to do with what's going on in the state of Montana and beyond that affects us. I think there's a lot, you know, it's pretty wide parameters, but that's kind of what we're looking for.
Right.
And we'll also have kind of ways that hopefully some folks, if able to, can help the podcast move along and help keep it here so we don't take another year off.
Well, yeah, so it's not just the two of us. I don't know, what do you want to talk about? I'm out of ideas. I'm going home. So, yeah, that is the first item in our 2023 look back at the year that was, is that we squeaked in. I mean, it's late December, but score it. It's still 2023 on the map. So we did a show this year.
Right.
And this is that show. The other things that went on, we had an incident here in Montana with a balloon. Now, this was way back in February, right about the time that I threw my hands up and we stopped doing the podcast, was when the balloon was flying overhead. We didn't want them intercepting any of our important electronic information.
Well, we wouldn't have been able to find anybody who knew anything about the balloon because it was so mysterious. We didn't know what it was. People were taking pictures of it, which is not a good... not a good trait of a spy balloon. If it's a spy balloon, you're not supposed to be able to take pictures of it.
And this is one of the things that certainly was a part of the conversation here in Montana. Around the time the balloon was going over, it was a national headline. They were heated debates in Congress. Everybody's head was on fire. And nobody was stopping to go like, hang on. If I can take a picture of your reconnaissance equipment from the parking lot at the Applebee's in Billings, then maybe it's not high-end stuff.
Yeah, it turned out it wasn't high-end stuff. And then they let it drift across the whole country before they did anything with it.
Although, I think, and I can't confirm this completely, I know maybe it happened in Canada, I think we were the only state that had the balloon travel over that had to issue warnings to its residents not to get out your big game rifles and take a crack at it, because despite the fact that you could see it in some binos, it's too far to shoot.
Right. And it was like the size of a bus, and if somebody would have shot it down, something the size of a bus would have landed in somebody's yard.
And at the very least, your bullet's got to come back down to earth, too.
Yeah.
So put your .338 Magnum away there, Jed. Don't shoot at the Chinese spy balloon.
Somebody on the west end of Lockwood shoots it, or Billings shoots it down, lands in Lockwood, takes out two trailer houses. Not good.
I mean, there was hope for the people in Sydney. I mean, they could have shot it. It would have landed in the Dakotas. Yeah, nobody would have known.
Nothing there.
Oh, no, it interrupted that dust. and moved it from that bush over to that bush. So, yeah, it was looking at our military sites, apparently, and then it was stealing electronic information. And it's funny to look back at some of these stories as we have, because when you look at the amount of heat that was on that thing mm-hmm. and what it meant for the tensions around the globe, and we're going to go to war, and then they had to be like, all right, we'll put your 12-gauge away. Let's not shoot the thing. We'll wait till it's over the ocean, and then we'll deflate the balloon. And then there were like three more.
And now it's just a feather in the cap of somebody on a campaign ad. Right. I was against the Chinese spy balloon. Who was for it? Who?
Exactly.
Come on.
As opposed to people that were pro-reconnaissance from the Chinese spy balloon. Speaking of the Chinese, we made, and by we, I mean Montana, we made the news back in May when Governor Greg Gianforte signed a ban on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and nothing has happened since.
That is as far as that got. A number of politicians here in Montana had decided that, God dang it, there's enough of the milk crates and the Tide Pod eating and the syncopated dances. They're stealing our information and endangering our children. And TikTok is banned starting in 2024. And then last month, the federal judge said, how about now?
Again, TikTok got all the rich lawyers. Like, you're just ready to go to war with Montana, which seems like a really weird battle. And considering who the Montana legislators are, and I'm not labeling one side or the other, did they have to be informed on what TikTok was?
Yes, they did.
Because I would have to be.
Like, we have to take down the clocks? What does that mean?
Yes, I am against Kit Kat. No, those are chocolate bars. We're talking about TikTok. It's a different thing. No, I think they decided that TikTok was the kind of enemy of the moment. And if it's Chinese right. spying, again, we're back to Chinese spying. There's all sorts of Chinese spying. Your phone's probably doing it with or without TikTok. It doesn't matter.
There may well have been Chinese spy software loaded into this podcast at some point. I have no idea. But I do know that TikTok has deep pockets.
Yep.
They're making a lot of money from a lot of places. And that federal judge decided on whatever multiple for basis is, due to free speech issues and some other things that, we're going to put a hold on that. So, and it just kind of seems to have, at least here in the state, it's kind of gone away.
Well, and Montana's kind of the test for this, because there's other states lined up ready to do the same thing. The United States is probably has been considering banning TikTok.
Right.
So if TikTok is ready to get a bunch of lawyers and go to war with Montana as a starting point, that means they would really get serious about defending themselves against other states. And I mean, we're just Montana. When you think of the states right. and how important we are population wise, percentage wise, we're a very small group of people compared to if New York or somebody larger state goes after them. So I think it's an indicator that TikTok's ready to fight as well.
Further looking back, a couple of sports stories. We don't normally make the national sports news, but we got in there with a couple of cool things. Back at UFC 92 in Boston, this was in August, local to Helena, Montana, Sean O'Malley.
Local and native.
Sugar Sean went in and won the bantamweight title, complete with his cotton candy-colored hair and all of the stuff that goes along with it. It was really, really neat here in Montana, because at UFC and mixed martial arts, obviously kind of a niche market, but man, for that handful of days around that fight, everybody was tuned into that thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because O'Malley's been around a while. He's also been the face of MMA fighting to a degree for a while. He was he was on the reality show, wasn't he? Isn't that how he was first came into the scene nationally? And then there's a fellow, we'll call him a fellow podcaster. We're not in the same universe, right. But I will call him a fellow podcaster for selfish reasons. But Rogan latched a hold of O'Malley, and he really got behind him, and I think that kind of obviously helped his image. But Montana-wise, if you weren't an MMA fan, I don't know if you could have picked Sean O'Malley out of a lineup until he won the world championship. He became a title holder, and then everybody now knows Sean O'Malley.
Well, yeah, and he's one of the handful of guys. He matches his hair color to the car that he's driving in that moment. And he's got a title defense coming up. So he's going to be right back in the news cycle coming up in March. He's slated to fight Chito Vera and defend his title.
That's tough, because I love Cheetos.
Not the same guy.
He's fighting that cheetah? Weird.
I'll tell you, it's one of those things, and it's funny, you know, you mentioned Rogan. There's really only one difference between the two of us and him, and it's that we've heard of him.
Yeah, it's, that's right.
It's something to see what these guys do, and the punishment they can take, the training they put in, the dedication and the time. And then if you listen to O'Malley, and I caught a couple of his interviews, and I think he did a Rogan podcast after he won the title, and the amount of time he has to spend as a marketing director.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of the money he makes as a fighter isn't based just on the purse. Although now that he's a title holder, Dana pays you accordingly at the UFC. You make a lot more money when you're a more popular fighter and you drive pay-per-view buys. But my God, dealing with the client sponsors and the team of people he has soliciting commercial sponsorships and all of the things that it takes to go to manage those relationships. And oh yeah, you also have to be a razor sharp trained killing machine that's going to go on national television in a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
And get punched in the face.
It's kind of like winning the Super Bowl when all the players go out to do commercials and stuff,
right,
and they kind of lose their focus on football. And statistics have shown that after you win the Super Bowl, the following year is very tough on teams.
100%.
In most cases. And that's kind of what Sean O'Malley's got to juggle now. And he appears to be pretty good at it. We'll find out how much concentration he's putting on training when he gets his next fight, because that'll be his first chance to defend his title. And Sean O'Malley has been everywhere in the state of Montana. I mean, not just nationally doing things, but I mean, he raised the flag at a Grizzly game. He's been spotted around. He's got family in Helena, and it's got to be a really cool thing to see him locally for people who knew him, and see him reach this height and now become a household name in the state of Montana for MMA fighting, which is something that only a group of people were watching for a while. Now everybody's going to watch all of his fights here.
The other thing that made the national news from the sporting realm, and it's done it 2 years in a row now, is the Brawl of the Wild, the Montana-Montana mm-hmm. State game. Now, 2 years ago, it was at Bozeman, and game day showed up. And Pat McAfee was running his yapper about how great Montana was and all of these things. And they put him in a rodeo chute and a bunch of other stuff, and, you know, kind of drove some national attention to that game then. And then this year, they set an attendance record at Washington Grizzly Stadium, 27,178 people. First time they were in the top five, both of them. Huge stakes
on
that game.
And the outright winner of the Big Sky Conference, which, first of all, an outright winner of the Big Sky Conference hasn't happened for a while. There's been co-champions of that conference, and this was the two Montana teams. So last year there were playoff implications. There was things happening there in Bozeman, and then game day made it extra big. And this year was extra big just because of those things. Also, the playoff seeding, which turned out to be a big deal as well. I mean, NDSU had to come to Montana,
at
the Washington Grizzly Stadium, and they had to come both stadiums. But I mean, that seating was a huge deal, and then the conference. So that game, and unfortunately, the game itself didn't turn out to be a good game in either case. They were both huge victories for one side.
I was going to say, unless you're a Grizzly fan.
Blowouts. Last year was bad for Grizzlies. This year was bad for the Bobcats. But that game itself is now probably known by more people as well. It's kind of like Sean O'Malley. Like, people outside of the state of Montana are becoming aware of this. Game day did it last year. And, it's pretty cool to see. We all know it's a big deal here. And we'll talk more about the Grizzlies as we get closer to the national championship, which they have made their way to. But, boy, it's awesome to see that it's not getting smaller. It's getting bigger.
Yeah, it's absolutely growing. And bad news for you Bobcat fans who have been taking L's here for the last handful of weeks, as we record this in late December, that will continue, because the Grizz now are in the national championship game. That will lead this podcast when we come back after the holiday break, because there's a national championship game to be played down there in Frisco, Texas. And the Grizzlies are in it.
I had a lot of people I've seen on social media asking, why is the national championship in Frisco, Texas? I can do a really quick explanation of that. That is a bid. A city has to want it. A venue has to want it. And the last time they had the bid, it's a 10-year bid. The last time that the bid was open, there was only two cities and two locations that had any interest. Chattanooga, Tennessee, who at that point had had it for a long time, and then Frisco, Texas was the only other one. And there's people who are unhappy about it. They don't like the venue. It's a soccer stadium. It's actually the soccer stadium for Dallas's football club. And people are like, why don't they have it here? Why don't they have it there? Well, it's also a really big gamble. It's a lot like a concert.
Yes.
It's a big gamble because the city and the venue make money on the attendance. And yeah, NDSU or the Grizzlies or South Dakota State, when they show up, a lot of people show up. But if you have one of the other schools in the FCS, you're not guaranteed that big turnout, and you might lose money. Chattanooga, Tennessee lost money on that on several occasions. So it is a big gamble, and it's I think it's pretty cool that Frisco, Texas steps up and wants it, because it shouldn't change in a way that where FCS has to find ways to get this into a good venue.
Yeah, and if you end up with a matchup that is Sacramento State versus Furman,
yeah,
and their tens of fans show up, on game week, the entire city struggles.
Yep.
Because of that financial. Now, luckily, they landed in Montana and the Dakotas, so a bunch of thirsty pickup driving friends are going to be in Frisco, Texas.
Yeah, 20,000 plus capacity at that stadium. Ticket charter packages here with the entire packages from Montana, anywhere from $2,200 to $3,500. If you're making your own way down there, I've seen varying degrees of ticket prices, but 10,000 people will make their way. Doesn't matter what the cost is. 10,000 people from Montana will be there.
Another big story from 2023 here in Montana that affects literally everyone was the government's version of the Oprah Winfrey meme. You get a tax hike, and you get a tax hike, and you get a tax hike. Everybody gets a tax hike!
Yeah.
And we did. Everybody. Up 21% on the median. Property values here in Montana have been a super boring, not interesting, but devastatingly important topic for the last 5 to 10 years, as property values have skyrocketed. And then somebody finally got a hold of that information and said, well, wait a minute, we're still taxing these people like they haven't skyrocketed. And the tax rates went way up, 21% on the median, anywhere from 11% to 35%. And now, with residential valuations up 40% on median, there are rumors of a second one because the first one wasn't enough.
Yeah, and there were a group of counties that didn't want to levy all the mills that they were able to, and so they did that, and they sent out tax bills based on 37 of the counties did this based on a percentage of mills. They didn't want to take all the money from the taxpayers, and then they took it to the Supreme Court because it was counties versus school districts versus counties, and they went to the Supreme Court in Montana, and they said, yes, you have to take everything you can.
Right.
You have to tax everything that you are supposed to tax. So some people in Montana are going to get two tax bills this year. You've already received one, and you'll receive another one in early 2024 for your property taxes.
If you like the first one, you're going to love the second. No.
It's a bonus.
That is not.
It's an anti-bonus.
It's the exact opposite of a bonus. You get a pay cut. It adds up to about an extra $213 million on existing residential properties. It adds to a crunch that you will hear people in Montana, if you're listening to this from out of state, and you come here and you tell someone you're from out of state, prepare for the unfriendly response and the request that you go back to wherever you're from. And it doesn't matter where that is.
Imagine, though, you're shopping for a home in Montana, property in Montana, like many people have done. Imagine now, though, because what you'll do a lot of times when you're shopping for property, especially out of state, is you look at the previous year's tax bill and you go, oh, look at the taxes on this.
Right.
I got to base my loan and I got to base my payment on this. And then they hit you with the new tax bill.
Right.
It isn't on the record from last year. It's the new one ongoing. And you find out it has gone up 40, 50, maybe more percentage points. And it's a lot more than it used to be. So that'll be a big surprise for people who don't do their due diligence on what the property taxes have been and will be going into Montana.
And just according to some of the more recent surveys, 50% of the homes in the state fall between $155,000 and $465,000. However, the median list price in Montana is $542,950. So climbing towards $550,000 as a median list price. Average home value, about $447,000. All of those are big numbers compared to what you would have seen 5 years ago in the state. It's a massive increase. It's something that's been felt by every resident. Like I said, as you look back at the year in the news, this isn't the fun story. But it's maybe the most impactful because it hits everybody, renters, families, people that are moving in, people that are moving out.
Yeah.
Because there are people that are leaving the state of Montana cash in hand, but then have to leave and go somewhere cheaper.
It's the ultimate two-sided coin. Positive. Hey, your property values went up. Your property's worth more. You made money on your property on paper.
Right.
And the other side of the coin is you got to pay more taxes.
Yes.
It's just, there's no way getting around that. If your property tax values go up and your property taxes, or your property values go up, then your property taxes will go up as well. It's just that you can't avoid that.
And this creates a special challenge for people on a fixed income, talking about retirees, talking about veterans. Montana still boasts by percentage of the population, mm-hmm. Per capita, the highest percent of retired military mm-hmm. here in Montana. And certainly you've got the other challenge group is renters.
Yep.
Because they're coming in, they've got the same job, they're making the same money, and all of a sudden the property that they're renting is being taxed at this higher rate. Those costs have to be handed down because the landlords have to make up that money somewhere. That comes in the form of higher rents. Everybody's challenged by this. And I would love to tell you that, but there's relief in sight. There isn't.
There really isn't.
The rates just continue to increase, and homeowners and renters will continue to face those challenges. It also puts a certain limit on the people that can move here. You can't just come in from just anywhere when right. the average price of a house is $500,000.
It puts pressure on employers who are looking for employees.
100%.
Employers are trying to bring in teachers. We talked to the superintendent of schools in Helena. This is a big concern because they would love to hire teachers, but they can't get housing for them.
Right.
A teacher could want to come here, have every desire to come here, like the job, like where they're going to go, and then they can't find a place to live. So it affects everybody in that way. This is not quietly for some people, but yeah, these other stories we're going to talk about during the course of this kind of year in review thing, there's some big shiny stuff that's fun to talk about. This is the biggest thing to affect Montana this year in many ways. And like you said, it's not going away anytime soon. It'll be discussed in the future. Some people will claim to have ways of remedying this. That's going to be a tall order.
Yeah,
I don't know how you do it.
We could do a year end 2024. I promise you. Home values are going to be in that roundup.
Yep.
Because it is just an increasingly challenging part of living here in Montana. It's something that's felt by everybody. And unfortunately, it came home to roost in a big, big way with those massive tax increases that were felt by absolutely everybody around the state. And then finally, it was another banger of a year for fake Montanans. This is the Yellowstone phenomenon. I don't know how this happened.
Is that like fake news?
Yeah, a little bit. It's fake news in a duster, which is exactly what Cole Hauser is doing. Now, full disclosure, my wife finally this year made me sit down and watch it. She's like, everybody's watching this show, and they talk to me about it, and I don't know what's going on, and I feel stupid. I'm like, well, I don't want to watch the show. And like any time that my wife wants something and I don't, we did it. And so I watched the show, and I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. There's so much murder.
Yes.
Just somebody getting shot in the face all the time. You're just dragging people out, throwing them off a cliff in Wyoming. None of this is real. Mm-hmm. But the secondary marketing on Yellowstone and that whole phenomenon with the hit TV show has really come home to roost here in Montana in 2023. Cole Hauser has not one, but two different product lines. And no, I'm not calling him Rip because that's not his name. Rip is an imaginary character.
He's Rip. He gets called in the Rip the street.
I know.
He gets called in the street Rip every day. I guarantee it.
I guarantee he does too. You know why? Because now he dresses like Rip everywhere he goes.
He hears Rip more than he hears Cole Hauser.
I bet he does because nobody knows his real name. Cole Hauser is the same orange-haired guy from Dazed and Confused who's from Santa Barbara, California.
That guy's long gone. It's Rip.
There's way more money in being Rip, which I get. If somebody wanted to put me in a costume, I would feel ridiculous. If they told me that I could make millions of dollars for wearing the costume, I'd wear the costume to bed. I get it. But let's not pretend that my man's a real-time rancher. He's not. He is a guy, however, that's marketing a whiskey. He's marketing a coffee, and he's being sued by yet another fake Montanan over his fake Montana brand by Taylor Sheridan, the guy that produces the show.
Yeah, at least he's from Texas, which is kind of a
Montana adjacent.
He's got a ranch. I mean, he's got cows.
Yeah.
Rip's probably from what?
He's
Sacramento?
He's got cows that aren't going to market because $20,000 a head to be featured in Yellowstone, the show.
So the producer of the show, the creator of the show, is suing one of the stars of the show.
Because he says the logo for his Montana-themed coffee company is too close to Taylor Sheridan's Montana-themed coffee company, where they're using cattle brands. and one looks too much like the other, and we've got fake Montanans fighting over who's more faker Montana-er.
For something that's not made in Montana and can't be grown in Montana. No. You can roast it in Montana. There's coffee roasters in the state, and sure, that's probably what they're doing. Or maybe they're not. I don't know.
We can start a fire.
This isn't a hay battle. This isn't a huckleberry battle. This is a coffee battle. It's kind of silly.
I would pay for a huckle battle. That'd be all right. But yeah, it stands kind of unopposed as the single biggest driver for conversation for people outside the state of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
The show Yellowstone.
Well, it's got a second resurgence being shown on network TV.
Yeah, they clean it up, take out the F bombs and the nipples, and then they
oh man, try to leave it when they take the nipples out.
100% like the best part of the show. but it's the question. You know, it's the obligatory question. If you're 6'10", everybody asks, "Do you play basketball?" And if you tell somebody from anywhere else in the country that you're from Montana, is it like Yellowstone? And you got to go, "No."
No.
It's not. And I don't think Star Wars is like the future either. And by the way, we don't call David Hasselhoff Knight Rider. Can we stop calling him Rip?
Yeah. And you know what's worse than Rip? The people who dress like Rip.
Oh, boy.
Who come to Montana and then they're ready to go. They got the outfit before they get here. And then they dress like Rip and they walk around. And they're like, I don't look like anybody else here. And then they think if they think that's a good thing, that's even worse.
It is a banner year for people dressing up like a guy who's dressing up like a guy.
Right.
Cole Hauser's wearing a costume, and you bought a costume to look like the guy in the costume.
But you know what's even better? I would feel bad for this person somewhere out there on a ranch working at a real Montana cattle ranch.
It's a dude who just looks like that.
It's a dude who probably looks a lot like Rip.
Right.
And that poor guy has to put up with this Rip coming out there and now being accused of being a Rip knockoff when he was Rip before Rip.
Yeah.
And does that make sense?
He's got to go back to his bona fides. The same way that I did, by the way, when grunge became a thing and everybody's like, oh, you're wearing ripped up pants and flannel shirts to look cool. Like, no, I get dressed from the secondhand store. I've been wearing this stuff for 5 years. I don't know how Eddie Vedder made it possible that I'm popular now, but there we go. I'm in fashion.
Well, I don't know. Fake Montanans are all based on Yellowstone, but that's kind of fading. Even though it went on network TV, most people who are really into it have already seen it. I'm not seeing as much about it as I used to see.
I hope.
Outside of the grills with the brand on it and some. I don't see it a lot. I don't see anybody with the bumper stickers on. I don't see anybody wearing stuff with the logo in Montana.
I don't do resolutions, but I do have hopes every year for the new year, and it's usually just stuff I want to go away that we've had enough of, and maybe the Yellowstone phenomenon is it. I know the writer's strike is over in Hollywood, and they're supposed to be working on the next installment of the show, which is going to take place in Texas, which is awesome, because as loath as a lot of people in Montana are to have the focus on Montana, Texas loves it some Texas. They can't wait to talk about Texas. They want to tell you all about it. Let them. Go buy some ranch land in Texas. You can raise zebras and emus or whatever else you want. They don't care. There's no rules.
Yeah, get Matthew McConaughey on that show, please.
100%.
And then let him do the Texas thing and send everybody that way.
Put him in a big hat.
Catchy name.
He can hook them horns and shoot people and all the stuff. That'd be great.
It would be great.
It would be absolutely fantastic. So if there's a hope for 2024, it's that in that wrap-up, we are no longer talking about fake Montanans because, man, they had themselves a 12-month cycle here in the state. And it just recently wrapped up. I mean, you got Cole Hauser's doing whiskey signings for his new whiskey, and the brand of which I don't remember. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to give him the time. He's not paying for the airtime. And he's doing well. I don't blame him for cashing in on the thing, but I just wish it was somebody else's thing.
Well, in this 2023 recap, but as you said, this was bigger than just 2000. This has gone years, and it went through a period of time where that pandemic hit, and people were sitting at home going, well, we don't have to live here anymore. We can go anywhere. Where do you want to go? And then they looked on the TV screen and saw Kevin Costner in front of a majestic mountain background. They're like, pointed at it, let's go there.
Yeah, and they did.
Yeah, they did.
We mentioned the property taxes, right? That's all being driven by people coming in and paying way too much for their spot here in Montana. But that was the year that was, along with the zombie-like resurrection of our podcast. Again, please like and subscribe to this thing wherever you found it. We do have a slate of shows scheduled for 2024. We're going to try to We're going to recommit. I'm going to do it. It's like the pre-New Year's workout promise. Like, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to eat right. Like, we're gonna not stop the podcast.
And for those who are back, thank you. Thank you.
I wonder if there are people that were subscribed. I don't know how this works. I've never been on a show to take this long a hiatus. If all of a sudden it just shows up on their phone like, bloop.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I thought those guys died.
Like a text from an ex.
Oh. I hope it's better than that. At any rate, thank you for your time.
What you doing?
Enjoy your holiday. Happy New Year to everybody. If you're listening to this in Montana, please contact us. If you've got guest ideas, if you're listening outside of Montana and you have New Year's plans in 2024 to come visit, please be nice. Pick up your stuff. Yeah, don't leave your trash, and don't bore the locals with stories about how much cooler it is where you're from.
And by the way, this is not your typical Montana winter. So,
oh yeah, we should off. Well, not yet. It's not. You know it's coming. Like that's one of the. We will talk about that when it happens in April when it's 3 degrees and I'm still ice fishing because winter had a failure to launch in December when we wanted it for a pretty Christmas. At any rate, have a great new year. Stay safe, and we will see you in 2024.